Good morning and welcome to the morning segment of the Wednesday, May 22nd episode of the Faith Comes From Hearing podcast. I'm Wayne Floyd, your host. The Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a podcast that is dedicated to prayer, devotion, scripture reading, Bible study, and whatever I want to talk about. Faith Comes From Hearing podcast is a humble member of the Christian podcast community. You can find us over at christianpodcastcommunity.org. There's a lot of great listening over there. Over 60 well-curated podcasts, wide variety of topic areas, all covered from a biblical worldview. My brothers and sisters in Christ over there doing great work for the kingdom. I would encourage you to go on over there. I guarantee you, you're going to find something over there to listen to. And there's a very good chance you're going to find more over there to listen to than you actually have time to listen to it in. And as one of my brothers was talking about today on his podcast, actually, that I was listening to, I get it. There may be some fatigue going on from folks, and just trying to trim down a little bit. They got too many podcasts they're trying to listen to. I understand that. Absolutely. I would even make a suggestion. Why don't you swap out? Why don't you? He actually suggested this, find the ones that have the topics that you want or is doing what you want to do and listen to those, or maybe swap them out every week, do different ones or something like that. But anyways, to keep you from some fatigue, because I can understand that. What we're doing this week, and maybe for the next couple of weeks, is we're going to be just doing our scripture reading. I may talk a little bit about a subject here at the end of each of these, but I'm needing to put in my study time, getting my sermons ready for the month of June. I got three of them I've got to preach, each of them 2 weeks apart. So I need to get some study in, and I want to put more study into preparing for us to get into 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. Because like I said last night or yesterday, how critical it is. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, don't get me wrong, the scripture as a whole speaks to our day. But 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, along with Jude and 1st and 2nd Peter and James, you can read them and it almost feels like they're written in our day and time, though they're not. So and they very much speak about what we as Christians are dealing with right now. So I want to make sure we properly work our way through them, as I have with everything else. I want to make sure we properly approach them. So I'm trying to prepare an introduction because I want us to go through an introduction and get a feel for when 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John were written, why they were written, who they were being written to, those kind of things. We want to establish that before we dig in to the verse-by-verse, exposition of these chapters. So let's go ahead and get started for the day. We're going to go ahead and open up with our fourth day morning prayer. It's called True Christianity. Let's pray. Lord of heaven, thy goodness is inexpressible and inconceivable. In the works of creation, thou art almighty. In the dispensations of providence, all wise. In the gospel of grace, all love. And in thy Son, thou hast provided for our deliverance from the effects of sin, the justification of our persons, the sanctification of our natures, the perseverance of our souls in the path of life. Though exposed to the terrors of thy law, we have a refuge from the storm. Though compelled to cry unclean, we have a fountain for sin. Though creature cells of emptiness, we have a fullness accessible to all and incapable of reduction. Grant us always to know that to walk with Jesus makes other interests a shadow and a dream. Keep us from intermittent attention to eternal things. Save us from the delusion of those who fail to go far in religion, who are concerned but not converted, who have another heart but not a new one, who have light, zeal, confidence but not Christ. Let us judge our Christianity not only by our dependence upon Jesus, but by our love to him, our conformity to him, our knowledge of him. Give us a religion that is both real and progressive, that holds on its way and grows stronger, that lives and works in the Spirit, that profits by every correction and is injured by no carnal indulgence. Amen. All right. And our morning devotion for May 22nd from Spurgeon's Morning and Evening. The text for it is from Psalm 107:7. He led them forth by the right way. Changeful experience often leads the anxious believer to inquire, why is it thus with me? I looked for light, but lo, darkness came, for peace, but behold, trouble. I said in my heart, my mountain standeth firm, I shall never be moved. Lord, thou dost hide thy face, and I am troubled. It was but yesterday that I could read my title clear. Today my evidences are bedimmed, and my hopes are clouded. Yesterday I could climb to Pisgah's top and view the landscape o'er and rejoice with confidence in my future inheritance. Today my spirit has no hopes, but many fears, no joys, but much distress. Is this part of God's plan with me? Can this be the way in which God would bring me to heaven? Yes, it is even so. The eclipse of your faith, the darkness of your mind, the fainting of your hope. All these things are but parts of God's method of making you ripe for the great inheritance upon which you shall soon enter. These trials are for the testing and strengthening of your faith. They are waves that wash you further upon the rock. They are winds which waft your ship the more swiftly towards the desired haven. According to David's words, so it might be said of you. So he bringeth them to their desired haven. By honor and dishonor, by evil report and by good report, by plenty and by poverty, by joy and by distress, by persecution and by peace, by all these things is the life of your souls maintained, and by each of these are you helped on your way. O, think not, believer, that your sorrows are out of God's plan. They are necessary parts of it. We must, through much tribulation, enter kingdom. Learn, then, even to count it all joy when ye fall into diverse temptations. O, let my trembling soul be still, and wait thy wise, thy holy will. I cannot, Lord, thy purpose see, yet all is well, since ruled by thee. All right. And our reading for today. Hang on just a sec. Needed a drink there. We're going to be reading 2 Samuel 18, 19, and 20. And then Psalm 34 and Romans 2. Okay, so 2 Samuel 18, hear the words of the Lord. Then David numbered the people who were with him and set over them commanders of thousands and commanders of hundreds. And David sent the people out, one third under the hand of Joab, one third under the hand of Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, Joab's brother, and one third under the hand of Ittai the Gittite. And the king said to the people, I myself will surely go out with you also. But the people said, you should not go out, for if we indeed flee, they will not set their heart on us. Even if half of us die, they will not set their heart on us. But now you are worth 10,000 of us, so now it is better that you be ready to help us from the city. Then the king said to them, whatever is good in your sight, I will do. So the king stood beside the gate, and all the people went out by hundreds and thousands. Then the king commanded Joab and Abishai and Ittai, saying, deal gently for my sake with the young man Absalom. And all the people heard when the king commanded all the commanders concerning Absalom. Then the people went out into the field to meet Israel, and the battle took place in the forest of Ephraim. And the people of Israel were defeated there before the servants of David. And the slaughter there that day was great, 20,000 men. And the battle there was scattered over the whole countryside, and the forest devoured more people that day than the sword devoured. Then Absalom happened to meet the servants of David. Now Absalom was riding on his mule, and the mule went under the thick branches of a great oak. And his head caught fast in the oak, so he was left hanging between heaven and earth, while the mule that was under him passed onward. Then a certain man saw it. He told Joab and said, behold, I saw Absalom hanging in an oak. Then Joab said to the man who had told him, now behold, you saw him. Why then did you not strike him there to the ground? And I would have given you 10 pieces of silver and a belt. So the man said to Joab, even if I should receive 1,000 pieces of silver in my hand, I would not send forth my hand against the king's son. For in our hearing the king commanded you and Abishai and Ittai, saying, keep for me the young man Absalom. Otherwise, if I had dealt treacherously against his life, and there is nothing hidden from the king, then you yourself would have stood aloof. Then Joab said, I will not wait around here before you. So he took 3 spears in his hand and thrust them through the heart of Absalom while he was yet alive in the midst of the oak. And 10 young men who carried Joab's armor gathered around and struck Absalom and put him to death. Then Joab blew the trumpet, and the people returned from pursuing Israel, for Joab restrained the people. And they took Absalom and cast him into a deep pit in the forest and set over him a very great heap of stones. And all Israel fled, each to his tent. Now Absalom in his lifetime had taken and set up for himself a pillar which is in the king's valley, for he had said, I have no son to preserve my name. So he named the pillar after his own name, and it is called Absalom's monument to this day. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said, "Please let me run and proclaim the good news to the king, that Yahweh has judged to save him from the hand of his enemies." But Joab said to him, "You are not the man for the good news this day, but you shall proclaim the good news another day. However, you shall not proclaim the good news today, because the king's son has died." Then Joab said to the Cushite, "Go, tell the king what you have seen." So the Cushite bowed to Joab and ran. Now Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, said once more to Joab, "But whatever happens, please let me also run after the Cushite." And Joab said, "Why would you run, my son, since you will have no reward for going?" "But whatever happens," he said, "I will run." So he said to him, "Run." Then Ahimaaz ran by way of the plain and passed the Cushite. Now David was sitting between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof of the gate by the wall and raised his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running by himself. And the watchman called and told the king, and the king said, "If he is by himself, there is good news in his mouth." And he came nearer and nearer. Then the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called to the gatekeeper and said, "Behold, another man running by himself." And the king said, "This one also is bringing good news." And the watchman said, "I see that the running of the first one is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok." And the king said, "This is a good man and comes with good news." And Ahimaaz called and said to the king, "Peace." And he prostrated himself before the king with his face to the ground. And he said, "Blessed is Yahweh your God, who has delivered up the men who lifted their hands against my lord the king." Then the king said, "Is there peace with the young man Absalom?" And Ahimaaz said, "When Joab sent the king's servant and your servant, I saw a great tumult, but I did not know what it was." Then the king said, "Turn aside and stand here." So he turned aside and stood still. Behold, the Cushite arrived, and the Cushite said, "Let my lord the king receive good news, for Yahweh has judged to save you this day from the hand of all those who rose up against you." Then the king said to the Cushite, "Is there peace with the young man Absalom?" And the Cushite answered, "Let the enemies of my lord the king and all who rise up against you for evil be as that young man." Then the king trembled and went up to the chamber over the gate and wept. And thus he said as he walked, "O my son Absalom, my son Absalom, would I have died instead of you. O Absalom, my son, my son." 2 Samuel 19. Then it was told to Joab, "Behold, the king is weeping and mourns for Absalom." And the salvation that day was turned to mourning for all the people. For the people heard it said that day, "The king is grieved for his son." Excuse me. So the people stole away to enter into the city that day, as people who are dishonored steal away when they flee in battle. But as for the king, he wrapped his face up. Then the king cried out with a loud voice, "O my son Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son." Then Joab came into the house to the king and said, "Today you have shamed the faces of all your servants, who today have provided escape for your life and the lives of your sons and daughters, the lives of your wives and the lives of your concubines, by loving those who hate you and by hating those who love you. For you have informed all of us today that princes and servants are nothing to you. For I know this day that if Absalom were alive and all of us were dead today, surely then it would be right in your eyes. So now arise, go out and speak to the heart of your servants. For I swear by Yahweh, if you do not go out, surely not a man will pass the night with you. And this will be of greater evil for you than all the evil that has come upon you from your youth until now." So the king arose and sat in the gate. And they told all the people, saying, "Behold, the king is sitting in the gate." Then all the people came before the king. Now Israel had fled, each to his tent. And it happened that all the people were disputing throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, "The king delivered us from the hand of our enemies and provided us escape from the hand of the Philistines. But now he has fled out of the land from Absalom. However, Absalom, whom we anointed over us, has died in battle. So now why are you silent about having the king return?" Now King David had sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priests, saying, "Speak to the elders of Judah, saying, why are you the last to have the king return to his house, while the word of all Israel has come to the king, even to his house? You are my brothers, you are my bone and my flesh. Why then should you be the last to have the king return? And say to Amasa, are you not my bone and my flesh? May God do so to me, and more also, if you will not be commander of the army before me continually in place of Joab." Thus he inclined the hearts of all the men of Judah as one man. So they sent word to the king, saying, "Return, you and all your servants." The king then returned and came as far as the Jordan. And Judah came to Gilgal in order to go to meet the king, to cause the king to pass over across the Jordan. Then Shimei the son of Gera, the Benjamite who was born from Bahurim, hurried and came down from with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now there were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, with Ziba the young man of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons and his 20 servants with him, and they rushed to the Jordan before the king. Then they kept passing over the ford to cause the king's household to pass over, and to do what was good in his sight, and Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was about to pass over the Jordan. So he said to the king, "Let not my lord consider me guilty, nor remember what your servant did wrong on the day when my lord the king went out from Jerusalem, so that the king would take it to heart. For your servant knows what that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I have come today, the first of all the house of Joseph, to go down to meet my lord the king." But Abishai the son of Zeruiah said, "Should not Shimei be put to death for this, because he cursed the anointed of Yahweh?" David then said, "What have I to do with you, O sons of Zeruiah, that you should this day be an adversary to me? Should any man be put to death in Israel today? For do I not know that I am king over Israel today?" And the king said to Shimei, "You shall not die." Thus the king swore to him. Now Mephibosheth, the son of Saul, had come down to meet the king, and he had not done anything for his feet, nor done anything for his mustache, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed until the day he came home in peace. Now it happened when he came from Jerusalem to meet the king that the king said to him, "Why did you not go with me, Mephibosheth?" So he answered, "O my lord the king, my servant deceived me, for your servant said, 'I will saddle a donkey for myself, that I may ride on it and go with the king, because your servant is lame.' Moreover, he has slandered your servant to my lord the king. But my lord the king is like the angel of God. Therefore do what is good in your sight. For all my father's household was nothing but men worthy of death before my lord the king. Yet you set your servant among those who ate at your own table. What right do I have yet that I should complain any more to the king?" So the king said to him, "Why do you still speak of your affairs? I have decided. You and Ziba shall divide the land." And Mephibosheth said to the king, "Let him even take it all, since my lord the king has come in peace to his own house." Now Barzillai the Gileadite had come down from Rogalim, and he passed over the Jordan with the king in order to send him off over the Jordan. Now Barzillai was very old, being 80 years old, and he had sustained the king while he stayed at Mahanaim. For he was a very great man, and the king said to Barzillai, "You pass over with me, and I will sustain you in Jerusalem with me." But Barzillai said to the king, "How long have I yet to live that I should go up with the king to Jerusalem? I am now 80 years old. Can I know between good and bad? Or can your servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Or can I hear any more the voice of singing men and women? Why then should your servant be an added burden to my lord the king? Your servant would merely pass over the Jordan with the king. Why should the king compensate me with this reward? Please let your servant return, that I may die in my own city near the grave of my father and my mother. However, here is your servant Chimham. Let him pass over with my lord the king, and do for him what is good in your sight." So the king answered, "Chimham shall pass over with me, and I will do for him what is good in your sight. And whatever you require of me, I will do for you." Then all the people passed over the Jordan, and the king passed over too. The king then kissed Barzillai and blessed him, and he returned to his place. Now the king went on to Gilgal, and Chimham went on with him. And all the people of Judah, and also half the people of Israel, accompanied the king. And behold, all the men of Israel came to the king and said to the king, "Why had our brothers, the men of Judah, stolen you away and caused the king and his household and all David's men with him to pass over the Jordan?" Then all the men of Judah answered the men of Israel, "Because the king is a close relative to us. Why then are you angry about this matter? Have we eaten it all at the king's expense, or has anything been taken for us?" But the men of Israel answered the men of Judah and said, "We have 10 parts in the king, therefore we also have more claim on David than you. Why then did you treat us with contempt? Was it not our word first to have our king return?" Yet the words of the men of Judah were harsher than the words of the men of Israel. 2 Samuel 20. Now a vile fellow happened to be there whose name was Sheba, the son of Bichri, a Benjamite, and he blew the trumpet and said, "We have no portion in David, nor do we have inheritance in the son of Jesse. Every man to his tents, O Israel." So all the men of Israel went up from following David and followed Sheba, the son of Bichri. But the men of Judah clung to their king, from the Jordan even to Jerusalem. Then David came to his house at Jerusalem, and the king took the 10 women, the concubines whom he had left to keep the house, and placed them under guard, and provided them with sustenance. But he did not go into them. So they were shut up until the day of their death, living as widows. Then the king said to Amasa, "Call out the men of Judah for me within 3 days, and you yourself stand here." So Amasa went to call out the men of Judah, but he delayed longer than the set time which he had appointed him. And David said to Abishai, "Now Sheba the son of Bichri will do us more harm than Absalom. Take your lord's servants and pursue him, lest he find for himself fortified cities and deliver himself from our sight." So Joab's men pursued him, along with the Cherethites and the Pelethites and all the mighty men, and they went out from Jerusalem to pursue Sheba the son of Bichri. They were at the large stone which is in Gibeon, and Amasa came to meet them. Now Joab was dressed in his military attire, and over it was a belt with a sword in it, sheath fastened at his waist, and as he came out, it fell out. Then Joab said to Amasa, "Is it well with you, my brother?" And Joab took Amasa by the beard with his right hand to kiss him. But Amasa was not on guard against the sword which was in Joab's hand, so he struck him in the belly with it and poured out his inward parts on the ground, and did not strike him again, and he died. Then Joab and Abishai his brother pursued Sheba the son of Bichri. Now there stood by him one of Joab's young men, and said, "Whoever delights in Joab, and whoever is for David, let him follow Joab." But Amasa lay wallowing in his blood in the middle of the highway, and the man saw all the people stood still. So he removed Amasa from the highway into the field, and threw a garment over him, when he saw that everyone who came by him stood still. As soon as he was removed from the highway, all the men passed on after Joab to pursue Sheba, the son of Bichri. Now he went through all the tribes of Israel to Abel, even Beth Maacah, and all the Barites, and they were assembled and also came after him. So they came and besieged him in Abel Beth Maacah, and they cast up a siege ramp against the city, and it stood by the rampart, and all the people who were with Joab were wreaking destruction in order to cause the wall to fall. Then a wise woman called from the city, "Hear, hear, please tell Joab, draw near that I may speak with you." So he drew near to her, and the woman said, "Are you Joab?" And he answered, "I am." Then she said to him, "Listen to the words of your maidservant." And he answered, "I am listening." Then she spoke, saying, "Formerly they used to speak in this way, saying, 'They will surely ask advice at Abel.' And thus they ended the dispute. I am of those who are peaceable and faithful in Israel. You are seeking to put to death a city, even a mother in Israel. Why would you swallow up the inheritance of Yahweh?" And Joab answered and said, far be it from me that I should swallow up or destroy. Such is not the case. But a man from the hill country of Ephraim, Sheba the son of Bichri by name, has lifted up his hand against King David. Give him over alone, and I will go from this city." And the woman said to Joab, "Behold, his head will be thrown to you over the wall." Then the woman came to all the people in her wisdom, and they cut off the head of Sheba the son of Bichri, and threw it to Joab. So he blew the trumpet, and they were scattered from the city, each to his tent. Joab also returned to the king at Jerusalem. Now Joab was over the whole army of Israel, and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada was over the Cherethites and the Pelethites, and Adoram was over the forced labor, and Jehoshaphat the son of Ahilud was the recorder, and Sheva was scribe, and Zadok and Abiathar were priests, and Ira the Jerite was also a priest to David. Psalm 34. I will bless Yahweh at all times. Of David, when he feigned madness before Abimelech, so that he drove him away and he departed. I will bless Yahweh at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul will make its boast in Yahweh. The humble will hear it and rejoice. O magnify Yahweh with me, and let us exalt his name together. I inquired of Yahweh, and he answered me, and delivered me from all that I dread. They looked to him and were radiant, and their faces will never be humiliated. This poor man called out, and Yahweh heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of Yahweh encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Oh, taste and see that Yahweh is good. How blessed is the man who takes refuge in him. Oh, fear Yahweh, you his saints, for there is no want to those who fear him. The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they who inquire of Yahweh shall not be in want of any good thing. Come, you children, listen to me. I will teach you the fear of Yahweh. Who is the man who delights in life and loves many days that he may see good? Guard your tongue from evil and your lips from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous, and his ears are open to their cry for help. The face of Yahweh is against evildoers, to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and Yahweh hears and delivers them out of all their troubles. Yahweh is near to the brokenhearted, and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the evils against the righteous, but Yahweh delivers him out of them all. He keeps all his bones, not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, and those who hate the righteous will be condemned. Yahweh redeems the souls of his slaves, and all those who take refuge in him will not be condemned. Finally, Romans 2. Therefore you are without excuse, O man, everyone who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. And we know that the judgment of God rightly falls upon those who practice such things. But do you presume this, O man, who passes judgment on those who practice such things and does the same, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you think lightly of the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? But because of your stubbornness and unrepentant heart, you are storing up wrath for yourself in the day of wrath and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will repay to each according to his works. To those who by perseverance in doing good seek for glory and honor and immortality, eternal life, but to those who are selfishly ambitious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, wrath and anger. There will be affliction and turmoil for every soul of man who works out evil, of the Jew first and also of the Greek. But glory and honor and peace to everyone who works good, to the Jew first and also to the Greek, for there is no penalty with God. For all who have sinned without the law will also perish without the law, and all who have sinned under the law will be judged by the law. For it is not the hearers of the law who are just before God, but the doers of the law will be justified. For when Gentiles who do not have the law naturally do the things of the law, these, not having the law, are a law to themselves, in that they demonstrate the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience bearing witness, and their thoughts alternately accusing or else defending them, on the day when, according to my gospel, God will judge the secrets of men through Christ Jesus. But if you bear the name Jew, and rely upon the law, and boast in God, and know his will, and approve the things that are essential, being instructed out of the law, and are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind, a light to those who are in darkness, a collector of the foolish, a teacher of the immature, having in the law the embodiment of knowledge and of truth, you therefore who teach another, do you not teach yourself? You who preach that one shall not steal, do you steal? You who say that one should not commit adultery, do you commit adultery? You who abhor idols, do you rob temples? You who boast in the law, through your transgression of the law, do you dishonor God? For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you, just as it is written. For indeed circumcision is of value if you practice the law, but if you are a transgressor of the law, your circumcision has become uncircumcision. So if the uncircumcised man observes the righteous requirements of the law, will not his uncircumcision be counted as circumcision? And he who is physically uncircumcised, if he fulfills the law, will not be judged you who through will he not judge you who through the letter of the law and circumcision are a transgressor of the law? For he is not a Jew who is one outwardly, nor is circumcision that which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew who is one inwardly, And circumcision is that which is of the heart, by the Spirit, not by the letter. And his praise is not from men, but from God. Well, all right. Well, that was an awful long read. I didn't realize that was going to be that long. We're already at the 30-minute mark on this episode. But I do actually have something I want to talk about real quick. Sorry, needed a drink. And part of it came from while I was working downstairs, helped my wife watch my grandson. We had him again today for a few minutes. Well, longer than a few minutes, but anyways. But my wife had on Ben Shapiro. And Ben was talking about the death this weekend of the Iranian president and some of those and everything. And I kind of wanted to approach it. So he did talk about it from a worldview. And he spoke, and he actually spoke pretty well about what the Jewish view is on stuff, and the Christian view, and then the secular view. He actually presented those pretty well. Ben's very, very smart. Don't get me wrong. He's very smart, and I like him very much. I just wish he was saved. The sad fact is, he very well intellectually knows the scriptures and knows the gospel. He just does not have a saving faith, which I pray for regularly. I would pray that he would come to a saving faith in Christ and be one of our brothers. But he made some very, very good points. But I want to say a few things, okay? Let's understand. And he made a good, and believe me, this didn't come to me on my own, but I did, when he brought this up, I remembered this. When Pol Pot, and believe me, as much as Wikipedia can be very, very liberal, go look up Pol Pot on Wikipedia, P-O-L-P-O-T. He was the leader of Cambodia in the 70s. He was there in Cambodia for a lot longer than that, but he was leader of the of Cambodia in the 70s. And he was a monster. I mean, he was truly a monster. And he led pogroms and such, meaning he led death squads. I mean, he sent them out and clearances such that almost 2 million Cambodians were slaughtered in like a 4-year period. Okay? So bad guy. Very, very bad guy. So when he finally died in the 90s, Bill Clinton was in office, and I want to preface this. I'm not a Bill Clinton fan, not in any way, shape, or form. I had a lot of problem with him being my president when I was serving in the military because I had trouble with a draft dodger being my commander in chief. I really did. And yeah, I know you can make arguments, well, but he did this good thing or that good thing. I don't disagree with that when he was in office. I don't care for him, didn't care for him then, don't care for him now. But at the time of Pol Pot's death, Bill Clinton put out a clear statement about him. Now, he didn't sit there and try and celebrate the guy's death or anything, but he did. Bill Clinton put out an address and did clearly state what a monster the guy was. I mean, just put out the facts. I mean, laid out the facts of what a monster this guy had been. Didn't make personal attacks, just stated facts. Well, so, and the reason I bring it up, and the reason I think Ben was bringing it up, is because you've got such a change in what our culture is like, because this president that was killed in this helicopter crash, and please understand, I will also preface this, and that I am never happy. I am never celebrating. I'm never going to jump up and down and celebrate when an image bearer of God, not a child of God, not somebody who's saved, but an image bearer of God, which all humanity are, we are born image bearers of God, is killed. I think that's terrible. I'm not happy when they die, even if they die of old age. Don't get me wrong. When my father passed away, when his body just, when he finally gave up and went home to be with his Lord, I was not happy about it because I miss my father. I miss him every day. But it was the right thing to happen. That's different. I didn't celebrate that. I missed him. I just didn't sit there and while I mourned my loss, I was content in the fact that he wasn't in pain and anything anymore. But I have a problem with this man. And let's be clear. This man led this president of Iran, this now dead president of Iran, led to the death, or had a particular hand in the death of over 30,000 political dissidents, people who disagreed with him, people who spoke out against the government. He led to their death. He's known as the Butcher of Tehran, and he earned that title. He's been very clear up until early, you know, spring, end of winter, spring this year, talking about that and making very, very clear that what he saw as being what he lived for and prayed for was for the wiping out of the West and for the domination of the West by Islam. And what that would mean is the domination by Islam, and you can claim what you want to about Islam all you want to, but the fact is the Islamic religious books are very, very clear that for the domination of Islam, anybody who's not Islamic, anybody who's not Muslim must die. Don't let them tell you anything different, because if they do, they're lying. That's what he prayed for. So this man, this Butcher of Tehran, the UN Security Council had a moment of silence, and the chaplain, I don't remember if it was a chaplain for the House or the Senate, actually prayed for him. And I'm not talking a prayer to pray that I hope he was saved in those last days or something like that. No, I mean, they acted like this was a good man. Now, I'm not looking for celebration. And of course, many of them have talked about the fact, there were even comments about the fact that the left have been trying to claim that the people in Iran are mourning the death of this guy. No, they're not. They were firing off fireworks. They were celebrating that this guy is dead. We have to remember that in Iran, the humongous, and I can't overstate that, majority of the people there are oppressed by an extremely minuscule minority of radical, and I think they're Shia, radical Shiites who oppress all of them to the point of death. I mean, don't get me wrong. The idea of any kind of civil rights, there are none. You got somebody, I'm sure this. The sad fact is, just like the LGBTQ letter salad want to turn around and celebrate Palestine, which if they went and tried to live in Palestine, they'd be thrown off buildings, they'd be stoned, they'd be killed. They don't tolerate that there. So you can sit there and celebrate them all you want and try to chant for them, but they would kill you. Okay, so you're a fool for chanting for them. These same people would chant and riot for Iran. I guarantee you they would. Iran's even worse. Believe me, they'd sit there and just line them up and somebody'd run along with a knife and slit throats and let them fall down and bleed out right there. And all the pain and everything else. There would be no attempt at being humane for, I don't know how you'd call it that, but no kidding. It would be even worse. I mean, the ruling power with the guard, and I forget what they're called. They have been used the name, and I've always known the name, and I, of course, I went blank right now, but with their like Revolutionary Guard, the Iranian Revolutionary Guard or whatever they're called, they enforce Shia law on everybody. These people have no civil rights, and I'm serious about it being a humongous majority of that country are truly oppressed. They're not living with any kind of freedom whatsoever. No kind of freedom, no kind of rights whatsoever. So they're not, so they celebrated. They celebrated. This was not a guy that you sat there and paid homage to, because he had been such a great guy, such a great humanitarian, such a great whatever. This was a monster. Again, like I said, we as Christians, we don't celebrate. I don't celebrate the death of anybody. But I am content in the idea that one more hunk of evil has been removed from this world by God's plan. Now, I agree with Ben that for us to think, I was listening to Gene Clyatt, Shine Our Squirrel, from Squirrel Chatter, talking about it. I agree with him. I agree with Gene. We're not going to see any great change. We're not going to see any great change in Iran, because the guys behind this guy, but believe me, they're supposed to have an election within the next 50 days to elect a new president. This, the vice president, whoever, who's going to temporarily be in power, they don't turn around and like us and serve out the rest of the term. No, with they hold it for the next 50 days while they bring up and have an election. Please understand, these are not like our elections. Actually, they might be kind of close to what the 2020 election was, where Joe Biden got falsely elected. And yes, I agree. I he did not win that election. He was put into power. There's way too much evidence of corruption, no matter what you want to believe. There's way too much visible and physical evidence of corruption. It was not a valid election. Anyways, stepping on from that. So it would maybe look more like that, what happens in Iran. Believe me, the people voting and the things that happen, they put into power the person they want to put into power. Not the people, the government puts into power the person they want to put into power as president. Because that's basically the number two guy. That will be the guy that will step in and take supreme power when Khomeini, the Ayatollah, finally passes away. It's not going to get any better. It's not like all of a sudden Israel and Iran will be best friends. Believe me, that's not what has happened here. Just one more horrific murderer has been removed from the planet. That's all that has happened. And again, I'm not celebrating a death, and I don't think we as Christians should celebrate. I don't think we should have, you know, beer parties and stuff like that. I think we should be content that, you know, one more hunk of evil has been removed from the world. Not that there aren't more that are ready to step up in the wings. So we shouldn't be deluded by that. But again, I wanted to kind of approach that, you know, people, I find it ridiculous that a chaplain, and I don't know what his real faith is, but a chaplain would actually try to include this man in his prayers, like his prayers, trying to pray well for, trying to pray for the guy's family and all that. And don't get me wrong, I don't have anything personal against that president or his family, but it's very, very clear who he was. And so it's to try to pay homage and honor this guy kind of makes me want to vomit. So, and I think that's okay for we as Christians, but we don't celebrate either. I've seen people that want to turn around and act like, oh boy, let's put up banners and let's celebrate. No, that is not how Christians do. Not in any way, shape, or form. We are grateful that in God's plan, this man was finally removed from where he could continue to do damage to other humans. All right, well, that's all I wanted to say today. Let's go ahead and close out with the fourth day evening prayer. It's called God All Sufficient. Let's pray. King of glory, divine majesty, every perfection adorns thy nature and sustains thy throne. The heavens and earth are thine. The world is thine in its fullness. Thy power created the universe from nothing. Thy wisdom has managed all its multiple concerns, presiding over nations, families, individuals. Thy goodness is boundless. All creatures wait on thee, are supplied by thee, are satisfied in thee. How precious are the thoughts of thy mercy and grace. How excellent thy loving kindness that draws men to thee. Teach us to place our happiness in thee, the blessed God, never seeking life among the dead things of earth, or asking for that which satisfies the deluded. But may we prize the light of thy smile, implore the joy of thy salvation, find our heaven in thee. Thou hast attended to our happiness more than we can do. Though we are fallen creatures, thou hast not neglected us. In love and pity, thou hast provided us a Savior. Apply his redemption to our hearts by justifying our persons and sanctifying our natures. We confess our transgressions, have mercy on us. We are weary, give us rest. Ignorant, make us wise unto salvation. Helpless, let thy strength be made perfect in our weakness. poor and needy, bless us with Christ's unsearchable riches. Perplexed and tempted, let us travel on, unchecked, undismayed, knowing that thou hast said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Blessed be thy name. Amen. All right. Well, I hope you have yourself a wonderful day. I pray that you would have yourself a wonderful day. I would continue to implore you to do all that you do for the glory of God, and I hope to see you tomorrow morning. Have a good day. God bless.